So, I don't know if you ever wondered this, but I have, we say the bracha every single day, which is Hashem Nasan Lasech V'Bina. We make a bracha of that we should, that Hashem has given this, the Sechvi is the understanding, the Bina, the Seichel to understand, right? Ben Yom Uven Leila, right? Between day and night. So the Gemara says that when you hear the voice of the Tarnagol, the rooster, and you say, Baruch Hashem, that's when you speak the bracha, Hashem Nasan Lasech V'Bina Ben Yom Uven Leila. Now, has anyone ever wondered why specifically a rooster? Like what's a rooster? And even, especially since it's even, we don't, I don't know about you, but we don't hear roosters anymore. Although it's funny, in Lakewood of all places, my brother, my sister and brother live on a street where there's one guy who decided to have a whole farm and there's roosters and hens, and you hear them walking around like Lakewood, which is a pretty funny sight to be seen. But we don't usually hear it, yet we still make the bracha. And it attaches back to again, a rooster. So what is it about a rooster specifically? And what does that have to do with man? What can we learn from rooster to a man? And there's other animals that have the ability to understand the difference between night and day. I always remember quite clearly, I mean, this is documented, but I remember, when I had the merit of going through a few earthquakes growing up in California. Never the big one, but definitely a few of them. And I remember one time you would hear animals like start barking beforehand. And, they seem to have a little bit of a sense beforehand. So animals do seem to have some type of sense of understanding that. So what is it about specifically the rooster that gives us the ability to understand the difference between day and night? That's the second question. This concept of bina, which is understanding, which we know by women is chachma bin chachmas isha bonse bias, or bina, that the wisdom of a woman is the ability to have bina. Bina is always associated to this, women. Standing, which incorporates a ria, seeing, so that they, and what does it have to do with a tarnagol? What does it have to do with a rooster? So we go a little bit of a journey through the Gemara, and we're going to find that the rooster is mentioned more often than you would think in the Gemara. Starting with the concept of there's a Gemara in Gittin that describes destruction of a city based because of Tarnagolim, because of roosters. So how did two roosters cause destruction? The Gemara says that there used to be a minhag of when the achaz and the kala would go into a chuppah, they would be led by a tarnagol, by a couple, a couple of hens, a couple of rooster and a hen. And the point was is to represent that they should multiply like chickens. Now we know that we know because we learned last week's parsha, and we sing every night, that dogim are the concept of puruvu, right? Dogim multiply, right? That's the bracha that Yaakov gave to Yosef. What's the tarnagol? But what happened here in this case, the Roman soldiers, they were under Roman rule at that time, and the Roman soldiers decided to take the tarnagol for themselves. And the Jews, rebelled, and they made a mechama. And that mechama, the Romans came back and attacked, and it went all the way back to the Caesar, who they said that the Jews are rebelling. So this seemed like an innocent thing, and it's actually reminiscent, and I was happy when people finally spoke about this. I remember right after Yontif, I think Shavuos, there were some very loud people in New York about COVID and certain things from people. And it's not Loizu Derech, it's not our way, it's not the Gedolim's way. But we see, and we see that that seems to be the complaint against these people, is that it's true, maybe they shouldn't have ruined your wedding and they shouldn't have grabbed your chickens, your roosters. But you don't rebel because of that. You don't pick your fight against the governing body because they stole your roosters, which is maybe a custom and stuff like that. And it ended up being a terrible destruction. But we see something very clear, that we see that the roosters has some type of relationship to Chasana Kala, which we're going to have to understand. The other thing, we continue on in our journey, and we find that there are certain people that have tremendous azas. They have tremendous stubbornness. We know one of them very well, the Jewish people. The Gemara says a very fascinating thing. The Gemara says that if the Jews did not get the Torah, no nation would be able to stand up to them. It's very counterintuitive what we believe. So, because Rashi points out that Torah weakens our resolve. Like we know this from 2 weeks from the parsha of Yehuda. Yehuda was going to go attack the whole Mitzrayim. Right? They had tremendous strength, the Jewish people. But what's the strength? The strength is a strength of stubbornness. Right? We just don't go away. As some people, sadly, some anti-Semites are upset. We consistently are going to, it's not easy to put us down. So the Gemara says, Amar Shimon Lakish, Gimel Azimhem. There are three categories that are Aziz, that are stubborn. Yisrael in Bumas, Yisrael with the rest of the nations. Kelev, a dog, Bechayos, with animals. And Be'oifles, with birds, who represents Aziz? The rooster Tarnagel. So we see that they have a stubborn streak to them. I was doing a little bit of research on this because it like immediately struck me that, you know, we know that there's this terrible thing called hen fighting. Where they take roosters and they fight each other. And they'll fight to the death. Now this still goes on in many places, but it's also not a new thing. It's all the way back in history. There were times where it was representing power and strength. And your rooster, you did your rooster. Now, why rooster specifically? Because they don't give up. They just keep going. And so almost every time, if you put two roosters and they're going to fight each other, the one of them will fight one of them will die because they'll fight to the death. That's the azas, the strength of that. So this doesn't sound like a good thing. Right? It sounds like a negative. Now, like every midah, we have to understand, every midah, and I think this is what we're going to understand when we talk about understanding something, we have to understand always the balance of it. Every midah is a midah. Midah means a measurement. Every midah means there's a balance between what's used and what's not used. So it's true that azus might not be such a good positive trait at first look. But we also understand that there's an azus that has created have the Jewish people, right, to stay strong in the face of Golos for 2,000 years. There's an azus to say that we dress and we act a certain way, even though people make fun of us. So there is a plus in that azus. But so we're developing a relationship, a correlation with the Jewish people with the Tarnagel. It goes on. The Gemara, that was the Gemara in Be'ah. The Gemara in Erevin says, right, that we know this, that there's a famous Gemara, but if you didn't have Torah, we would learn certain things from different animals. So we learned sneers from the cat, and we learned, arise from a Yonah, which means marriage of a state, because the Yonah famously sticks to the same spouse. And then it says, Derech Erech Metarnagel. This is Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz in the Gemara always talks about the concept of how husband and wife should be together. That's what Derech Eretz means in the Talmud thing. Not always, but in this case. And Rashi says, because what a Tarnagel does, it promised the world to its spouse. It spreads its wings and says, I'll take care of you. And it's Mephiasim, and it appeases her, appeases the spouse, the other chicken. So therefore, that she feels comfortable being with that person. So now there's a very interesting thing. So we're going to continue on and on one more thing, and we'll pull this all together. But there's another place where we see something. We know, and this is, I think, the concept of having the seichel, the understanding of staying away from like the shadows or the doubt. And it says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, what happens if you are, we didn't have clocks, we didn't have the sirens in Yerushalayim, you know, we didn't have WhatsApp, we didn't have, you know, the great, and you have to know when the Shabbos starts. So the Gemara says, I am sorry. I don't know what just happened there. Hello? For some reason, I bounced out. Okay, but I'm back here. So the Gemara says, if you don't know, is everyone here still? I think so. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara says something very interesting. If you don't know when Shabbos is, so what you do is you look at a rooster. Because a rooster stays on the roof. And when it comes, when it gets near time to be dark, they go to sleep. They go find a coop. Wherever they stay in the night, they ready to go into their place before it gets dark. And they explain this because a tarnagel, they can't see at night. They have very bad eyesight, almost blind. So what they do is while it's still day, they make sure to find the place that they want to be when it's dark. So, what do we see from this? What do we see? We see that we know we have a concept of lahagib abaykir bechastech ve'mnoscha palelas, right? That we tell the kindness of God in the boker, but at night we have a muna. Why? Because when it's dark, when we're not sure about things, right? That's where we have a muna. But the really way to establish emunah by night is by preparing when it's clear, when there's good days, right? Everyone loves to say how 2020 is gone and now thank God 2021, right? But if we count the good days of 2020, it wasn't such a bad year. I'm not saying it was easier. Right? But there's a lot of good days that happened, a lot of good things that happened. We could establish an emunah that then when things are dark. So the rooster does something very fascinating. The rooster does something extremely fascinating. It avoids darkness. It prepares for the darkness. It separates night and day by doing one of two things. It first of all announces to the world when it's daytime, right? It's expecting daytime. But also it makes sure that it stays away from darkness. Stays away from murkiness. So what he does is it understands the sechvi bina, right? That the aspect of the sechvi bina is to not just to understand that, that when you have a sechvi, when there's daylight coming up, we announce the daylight and we crow for the daylight, but also understand that part of the daylight is to accomplish things when there's clarity so that you could avoid non-clarity. As we know, the famous thing of Malik is the same gematria as suffix, as doubt. Why? Because doubt is terrible. And so what the rooster is going to tell us is a few things. First of all, it's going to tell you that it's a mila tova of snias and derech eretz. And when Oz is pandem, you know when it's good to be Oz, to be stubborn? Be stubborn in the terms of don't allow yourself to be pulled into darkness. Don't allow yourself to be pulled into to doubt. Don't allow yourself, prepare yourself at the beginning of the day, and build your day, place, that when nighttime comes, you're ready prepared for it. You're ready settled in. You're ready comfortable in what I created in Aza. The thing that we do, if we rely to, we relay ourselves to the Tarnagol, is we build a armory of stubbornness to, that we place, that we could be in a place of Menuchah when dark clouds roll in, when darkness rolls in. That's the goal. So we get up every morning and we say, Nazal Sekhvi Bina, that the Tarnagol, when he announces, what he's announcing is that bring some enlightenment to your day. Bring some enlightenment to doing this. Now, how does this work? How does this work that we prevent ourselves from falling into the trap of darkness? Is we make sure that in, when we have clarity, we attach ourselves to Rabbanim, Gedolim, greater people than us. We attach ourselves to the clarity of the day. When we do that, so what happened? What do we tell the Chasan and Kala? Why do they not use a fish to prove who? Because they want to tell the Chasan and Kala is that grab the good days, grab the days that are positive, grab the days that are that where you have clarity of how much you love each other, and use those to help you get to a place of menucha when things are rocky, and they are sometimes rocky. So that it's not this proof, it's not this concept that, oh, go have children, but that's important. But it's more than that. It's that understand that build yourself, make a place in yourself of a place of clarity and a space of menucha that when things are rocky, you could go there. You don't have to run away even. How do you do that? What was the problem? Why did they fight the Romans for something so silly? Because they didn't ask a rabbi. They didn't have clarity on what's important, what's not important. So they end up destroying a whole community, right, without learning the lessons of what the minhag was for. They did it as the front of the minhag, but they didn't understand what the minhag itself was. The minhag was is that in these type of situations when things are tough, you don't act on your own. That doesn't mean you retreat, but you don't act on your own. You find a place of menucha. You find a place when it's dark. You bundle down and you work through that with the clarity that you have during the day. So we wake up every morning and we all of a sudden have a new idea, a new concept of a relationship of the Jewish people when it comes to the difference between day and night. And to get deeper. Now anytime we say Bina, Bina always is the concept of what we call Dover Mitoch Dover. Understanding something beyond what it is. What it means, sometimes we don't understand the depth of why it's bad, right? So we only take it on a superficial level, right? The reason why a woman could build a house is because, not just because they're great moms, which is probably true, but what makes them a great mom is the intuition of understanding what's below what's being presented to them. So they're more sensitive to understanding that this thing that's going on right now is wrong. It's like I always say, you look at the kid, you see a kid, and he puts his glass at the end of the table, right? And it's about to fall off. So you move it a little bit over, and then he immediately knocks it. So you saved it from falling down, right? Are you a Navi? No, you're not a Navi. You just understand what 1 + 1 equals. So when we talk about Bina, we understand that there's always another level to the differences that we have to make. Right? And there's a big difference in understanding between the difference between darkness and daylight. So there's actually a piece of this that's very fascinating, right? Because sometimes you'd have the whole daylight to understand and to establish the night. But what people don't realize is that it says lahafkani to have the bina between the difference between day and night. You're supposed to use the day for the day and the night for the night. And sometimes what happened, and this is a concept of also when you fall or when you messed up or you had darkness in your life. Sometimes what we fail to realize is that the darkness itself has a purpose to teach us something. And the same way you light a candle at nighttime, when it's completely dark, you can actually shine more. So sometimes in our darkness, we have the ability to understand something, to tap into a piece of knowledge that we may not have. So we don't, I want to be clear. We say, it's true in the Boker, we can tell the Chesed of Hashem because it's very clear. But it's not only, it's not this true that by doing that, then we have a Muna Balayla. It's vice versa too. Sometimes a Muna Balayla, sometimes the ability to have deep faith when things are dark will give us the ability to Lahagibra Chasecha, to get up in the next morning and say, wow, we thought that we had clarity that yesterday. But when I had to search in the nighttime, when I had to reveal what's going on in my darkness, I realized that the clarity I had the day before, right, was a clarity on one level. But now I understand that with my emunah, with my connection to God, when it's dark, I have a better understanding what the chesed of Hashem is. Right? Sadly, we know this to be real. That's sadly many times the only time that we really appreciate something is when it's not there, when it's dark. And as Hashem tells us, that lahagib rechastech v'minasav aleis, that sometimes that minasav aleis will bring you to come to better understanding, to tell the chesed of Hashem. Now, what is darkness? So the Mesillas Yesharim has an unbelievable, fascinating thing. The Mesillas Yesharim says in Perek Gimel, he says something very, very interesting. He says that there are two aspects of darkness. And they come at us in two different ways. There's darkness, right, that just covers eyes, right? You can't see anything, right? So you can't see in front of you. So you bump into yourself, you stub your toe, you hurt yourself. You don't have the clarity to see the positive. That's darkness. Your eyes are closed, right? And that is a different type of darkness, which in some ways is more tricky and much worse. Which is when you see something and you think it's a man, but it's really a pillar, right? You think you see something and it's what you see, and you think you see what you see, and it's not what it is. And that's a much worse darkness, because as opposed to the first darkness, you bumped into a wall or something like that. I always remember the story of this great Gadol who used to, you know, he was so engrossed with his Lord that you'd walk in the street, you'd bump into a pole and say, excuse me. Right. But most of us, right, we can't see something. Okay. So we don't see it and that's it and whatever. But when we sometimes make the mistake and we mistake what we see as being light when it's really dark, or we see something and we say, oh, this must be very positive for the world and the rest and right. And it's really not. That's a much worse darkness, because that's a darkness that we don't even think that we're being in the dark. We don't even see it. We don't even know the evil of it. That's where you need real bina. That's where you need real understanding. That's where you need the aspect of the stubbornness of like saying, look, I got to keep track of what's right in this world and what's not right in this world. What's light in this world and what's dark. What's tov and what's good and what's evil. Right? How do we do that? We attach ourselves to Gedolim. We attach ourselves to great people. Right? It's such an interesting thing. You know, I have a Rebbe who, not talking about today, I'm talking about 18 years ago. Okay, 18 years ago, he started this campaign, which has become this tag against the internet. And everyone all the time thought, you know, they looked at a superficial level and they said, you know what? Internet is, yeah, we get it. You know, internet's bad because people go on there and they see not nice things. And he's like, that's not even the half the issue. He said, what's going to come with mankind? What's going to come with the ability for people to attach themselves to different groups and different people? And he gave such a powerful analogy, but it's an insight that I think that Gedolim have and they speak out against. And then 15 years later, we kind of like, oh, we need to make sure not to have internet in our house, right? or unfiltered internet. But he said a point. He said, and I asked him this question. He said a point. He said, look, he said, it used to be, let's say you have a father and he's really not in the mood of, let's say, doing the Pesach Seder or Shabbos meal, right? He had a tough week. It's been a hard work. He has zero interest in like being like, you know, being part of the shop, directing Shabbos meal. So he thinks about that. He's like, you know what? I'm not taking Shabbos meal this week. I'm just going to skip it. What happened? He comes home. His wife has prepared the food. The kids are waiting. And he just sucks it up and he does it. He said, that's what normalcy is. It's all right to have the feeling sometimes I'm just tired, I'm beat down and everything. He said, well, now what happens is he Googles, you know, not in the mood of Shabbos meal, right? And all of a sudden, he has a whole support group telling him it's okay. It's all right not to be in the mood. I did this. I threw off this yoke of the Shabbos meal many weeks ago and everything. And they band together and they give support for something that's raw. But they see it as good and they create a system of good. We do this a lot. We don't do this as extreme as the example of giving. But we create realities. We create things pushing that we see are actually tough, and they're not. They're really raw, and that's dangerous. So how do we prevent that? So what we do is we sechvi bina. What's sechvi bina? Sechvi, we said, is a lesson of ria. We open our eyes and we see. We see the chokma people. We listen to the people who have directed us. And when they say something, we listen to them and we understand. And we say that this, like the Tarnagol, who's been stubborn, but has midas tovas. He's Derech Eretz. He has the ability to, he's stubborn, but in a way that he wants to do more. He makes sure to prevent, he keeps out of trouble by not falling into the trap of where he can't see things. He doesn't stumble around the dark. He puts himself in a place of safety before he has to stumble in the dark. Right? When we do that, when we create a reality of that today, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to try to understand that with Hashem's help and with Yadon's help, I'm going to understand in a real way, Bino, with a real deep understanding, the difference between Laila and Yom and Laila, the difference between daylight and nighttime, the difference between what's truly right and what sometimes is presented as right, which is really dark. That's the first bracha we make. And it's a tremendous bracha. And if you've been following, we really establish our day with Birchas HaShachar. Now, there's another aspect to this, which is very important. But, and I think that's why we compare it to a Tarnagol. A Tarnagol is not bogged down by the past, right? It had a bad day in the stock market the day before in the hen house, right? The next morning it gets up, it crawls again. It makes a distinction between days. As the Pasuk in Eicha says, Chadosim lebokrim rabim nesecha, right? Chadosim, every morning is anew, we increase our munascha, we increase our Amuna, we increase our faith in God. Like we, as we get up, Rabba Munasecha, Hashem Rabba was increased our Munasecha. So, but there's an aspect of us that has to get up in the morning and say, today is a new day. And I'm going to distinguish between today and last night even. Right? I'm going to distinguish with the darkness of the past and the light of today. Right? There's an interesting thing when it says by Aaron. Aaron, when there was a whole Korach attacked him for being, he said he wasn't the Kayin. So the Pasuk says, Ish asher efka boy mato yifrach. Right? The staff of Aaron, he said, Moshe says, whoever Hashem, the man that Hashem chooses, his stick will flourish. Right? Why do you have to say, like, it sounds like it will first. Like, what do you mean will first? Right? We knew that Aaron was picked. What I was saying is that you know how you flourish when you start off the day, when you start off understanding that Hashem has charged you with a mission and it's new. And it's right, as we know, that Aaron every day, Kasher Shiva, he did the exact same avoda like Hashem said, but to him was a newness. It was a reality of freshness. And there's an interesting thing. We know that the word Bina is associated with tshuva, right? And it says that Hashem created tshuva before creating the world. And Kabbalah, the reason why there's a certain aspect of the tshuva of Kol work if you have Bina. Because what you do is that you did an action, right? You did something negative against Hashem. So technically you should be out. You should be done. You did something against God, it's over. So how is it possible that you could get out of that action? Well, you know how? By presenting that your action is not who you are. So when you approach Hashem with a deep understanding, say, this is not who I am. That don't judge me on what I do, but judge me on who I am. Who I am is who I want to be. So tshuva is an aspect of that. This is what I want to be. So it's true. I'm not claiming. On the contrary, I'm admitting to the fact that I did this action that was wrong. But what I'm requesting is that that's not what I really am. I'm someone that in essence is someone that wanted to connect to Hashem. So when I ignored you, when I said Lashon Hara, when I did the whatever the bad thing I did, that's not what I am. And that's tshuva. So Bina is that because I present a deeper me, or let's say that what's called deeper mitoich deeper, it's an understanding under each other. When I present it to Hashem, so what happens is that allows me, Hashem says, right? If that's, you know, that if you're coming to me based on Bina, if you're coming to say that I'm not just seeing it black and white, I'm not just seeing it day and night. I'm seeing it that sometimes I have to go deeper and understand that if I really want to understand what day is, and I really want to say that it's a new day that I'm going to approach with clarity and with the Muna that maybe I create overnight. I want to approach it is because I'm willing to put in the elbow grease, the stubbornness, and I'm willing to do with their heritage. I'm willing to fight for this. And I'm willing to learn from my gedolim, my leaders, what's right and what's wrong. If I do that, so I start off my day with a proclamation, a very powerful proclamation. You know, Baruch Atah Hashem, I said that he nasa sech v'bina lahavchim ben liyoyim ben leila. That he gave me the seichel, the deep understanding between what creates a ability to start anew, to be able to connect to God. It's a bina, it's a deeper understanding of that. So that's, by the way, and that's a powerful lesson that I think why they, again, goes back to the, why the two roosters in front of a chasen and kala. The lesson is that you're about to start off your life together. And it's going to have to create that space. If you want to, I mean, stubborn, don't be stubborn with each other, but to be stubborn that this relationship should work. And you want to create those good days and focus on the clarity of what's good. Then you have the ability to put yourself in a space when things aren't always so good. Things are rocky sometimes when you create them. As someone gave my wife and I the advice of the Sherebach, which was funny. It was funny because it was two advices, one after another. One said, never go to sleep angry with each other. And the next one said, sometimes go to sleep angry with each other. Because sometimes you're just angry because you're tired and all you need is sleep. And I think the second advice was actually probably better advice than the first one because it helped put it in the character. Sometimes it's something you have to deal with. And sometimes you just both are tired and you know, have slept. I think someone says that 80% of midos, bad midos happen when you lack in sleep. That's why sleep is so important. So we have the ability to wake up in the morning and we've just recharged a menoscha by light. We just recharged a muna by light. How we did that is because we put our neshama to Hashem. We gave ourselves to Hashem and we wake up in the morning and we say, Lahagav Baruch Hastecha. We say, thank you Hashem. You've given me the koach to have deep understanding between day and night. What a bracha. That's the first bracha that we do. We establish the reality that we have the ability to be like roosters. Now don't start saying you're a rooster. That's a story about, you know, the prince and the rooster, that he thought he was a rooster. But we have the ability to look at the midas of the rooster, and we're actually quite similar in many ways. The Gemara compares us to it. And we have the ability to be stubborn about that. We have the ability to create a reality of constantly working towards seeing yom, seeing clarity, that the chesed, the hagib of Berk Chazdeka, to proclaim the bok, the chesed of the boker. We do that because Hashem has given us that ability. That's the first bracha we make. Have a great night, everyone.